Joined on the phone right now by Tom Jensen. You know him partly as the director of public policy polling. He is also, of course, a Tar Heel baseball super fan emeritus, technically, but coming out of retirement for this weekend, I hear. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So talk to me about Tar Heel baseball. A lot of folks were writing them off just a month ago, and then they've just gone on an incredible run. Did you think we'd be here at this point with Carolina hosting a regional?
Oh, goodness, no. I mean, this has been one of the most, definitely one of the most remarkable months that the baseball program's had in the whole 20 seasons that I've been in Chapel Hill for. End of April, they were 8-13 in ACC play. They had lost five ACC series in a row. They weren't even on the bubble. I mean, they, you know, when the national experts would put out their bracketology, UNC wasn't even in, like, the first four teams out or the first eight teams out. They were pretty much out of the discussion. And then in May, I would argue at this point that UNC is the second best team in the country. Tennessee is sort of on another level from everyone else, but it's hard to find another team in the country besides Tennessee that you feel like is playing better right now than the Tar Heels. And it's really kind of a fascinating thing because over the last few decades, I think more often than not, Carolina has often been a team that is so well prepared that they're just absolutely awesome right out of the gate, and sometimes would lose a little bit of steam in May and June compared to where they'd been at the start of the year. And then you'd see these teams that hadn't been playing as well all along get really hot and end up winning the College World Series. I can think in particular of a Virginia team and 2015 and an Oregon State team in 2007 that a month out you weren't clear if they were even going to make the NCAA tournament, and they ended up winning the College World Series. So I'd always say in that context, like, man, wouldn't it be fun sometime if UNC was the team that got really super hot at the end? And we'll see what June brings, but certainly May was a great example of UNC really for the first time being one of those teams that kind of struggled a little bit through the middle of the season and then just absolutely caught fire.
And this is a team that's been talented the whole way through. I mean, they were top 20 earlier in the year and then had that weird lull in March and April and then just turned it right back on. What do you think made the difference? What do you think got them to catch fire at the beginning of May?
Well, one thing that's sort of more of a emotional thing and then something else that's just directly related to the field. Coach Scott Forbes deserves a ton of credit for maintaining a positive attitude in the program when they were going through all those struggles throughout April. That's sort of a point a lot of the time when it's easy for a team to fall apart, for people to start turning on each other, that sort of thing. And Coach Forbes really just maintained sort of a positive atmosphere in the clubhouse. Guys continue to lift each other up, that sort of thing. And I think we've seen the results of that they, you know, even though they did go through that rough patch, they never gave up on themselves. They never turned on each other. They stayed positive and have had quite a remarkable turnaround because of that. I think one player on the team whose season has really sort of mirrored the team overall is Vance Honeycutt, who is one of the most exciting Carolina baseball players ever to come along. His combination of power and speed is something that you don't see very often, but he came out of the gate super hot, started the season, then pitchers figured him out a little bit in the middle of the season, and his numbers, you know, took a significant decline, and then he figured them back out in the last month of the season, and I think his resurgence has been a big piece of the team's overall resurgence. I mean, this is the point it's gotten to with him. I was watching the ACC championship game on Sunday on Game Tracker, just sort of watching the stats on my phone. And State scored a run in the top of the first inning. Carolina got a runner on base in the bottom of the first. I saw that Vance was up. I put my phone in my pocket and I said, well, the next time I look at this, it's going to be 2-1. And literally like 3 minutes later, I picked my phone up and it's 2-1 because Vance knocked it out of the park. I mean, that is the kind of player that's so exciting to have that you almost just expect when they come up to hit that they're going to hit a home run. and he's been hitting a lot of them.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, talking Tar Heel baseball, hosting now the regional this weekend at Bosch Emmer Stadium with Hofstra, the opponent today, and then, of course, Georgia and VCU, the other two teams in the tournament. What do you know about those three teams, and how do you see Carolina's chances of getting out and making it to the Super Regional?
Well, Hofstra and VCU are both really hot, just like the Tar Heels are. They obviously have been really hot against lower levels of competition, but they're both teams that are definitely in a winning mentality right now. Georgia is a team that was very good for most of the season and then struggled a lot in May. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can sort of recapture any of that magic that they had earlier in the season here this weekend. The national baseball experts at D1Baseball.com, a majority of them actually labeled the Chapel Hill Regional the easiest regional for the host. So in a certain sense, you know, that's good news that people think UNC has been sent a weaker group of teams. But I'll tell you, just the unpredictability of college baseball, and in all the years I've been around the Tar Heels, I was never more thrilled with who got sent here for regionals than in 2012, when it was St. John's, East Carolina, and it wasn't one of East Carolina's better teams, and Cornell. And when that came out on Selection Monday, I was like, okay, we're on to the Super Regionals. And then UNC ended up losing the regional to St. John's. So that just shows you how completely unpredictable college baseball is. So it's nice for the Heels that on paper they maybe got one of the weaker regionals, but I'm sure that none of these teams are going to go down without a fight. And you know, ultimately, it's just very hard to game out how these things will go.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and finally, as we wrap up, you're going to be in the stands this weekend, I'm sure. Are you coming out of retirement and leading the cheers this weekend?
Yes, I'm going to do my best to lead the cheers this weekend without having had a whole season to ramp up my voice. So I may have limited stamina, but I'm going to try. But the other thing is, I was just looking, the game this afternoon is sold out. We've sort of had a tendency where Carolina baseball fans are kind of spoiled and they'll sell out the Super Regional for the second week of the postseason, but they haven't necessarily sold out the regional. But I think people are so excited about what this team is doing that even at a 2 o'clock on a Friday, the stadium sold out. So hopefully our guys will have a really awesome home atmosphere backing them this weekend.
Well, I remember, I mean, you and I are both Michigan boys. I remember when the Tigers made the playoffs for the first time in 20 years in 2006, that like division series against the Yankees, the place was nuts. And that was for the division series. So you just, you get a couple years off and the excitement ramps back up again.
Absolutely.
Well, again, the game is at 2 o'clock today in Bosch Emmer Stadium. UNC taking on Hofstra, game one of the regional. It goes on all weekend long. We'll have all of Carolina's games for you here on 97.9 The Hill. Tom Jensen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.